Aw, oh, man, if there only there was a way so we could tell where all the gamers in the audience are.
A body has been discovered! Now then, after a certain amount of time has passed, the class trial will begin!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ultimate Despair Reprise, a Danganronpa recap podcast going through the entire Danganronpa series, one murder at a time. I, of course, am your ultimate host, Kyrie.
And I'm your ultimate podcaster, Jennifer.
And I'm just some asshole, Jackie. I just wandered in on set. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, sit down. Welcome back to class.
I just sat down, I took a mic, and I joined the chat.
I'm an ass.
Okay, and we are covering the investigation and trial of Chapter 4 of Danganronpa 1 Trigger Happy Havoc. Jackie, Shayu, can you please hit us with the recap?
Well, when I wandered onto set today, I
You found these papers.
Yeah, I stumbled across these papers. I think it was on a dead body, so I don't super trust him, but the Jackie recap begins thusly.
So this
sequence starts off with Aoi, Makoto, and Kyoko stumbling across Sakura Ogami's body inside of a locked room. Aoi panics, gets the rest of the gang, immediately fingers Yasuhiro, Toko, or Byakuya as a suspect. Monokuma then stops by to antagonize the gang. Byakuya, being a 10,000 IQ brain genius, decides to antagonize the rest of the gang further. And Aoi and Kyoko are put on guard duty, and Makoto is the only one allowed to examine the crime scene because Byakuya, being a big stupid asshole, got his examination rights banned. Wait, no, actually, he didn't. Because, of course he didn't. Because, of course, rules don't apply to Byakuya, and he can just get away with being a huge dick to everyone. Monokuma hands us file number 4, and alright, baby, here we fucking go. It says Sakura was whacking head and vomited blood, and nothing else. Kyoko explains locked room puzzles to us, like, 3 different times. It's kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah,
so,
they're kind of
It's a room that is locked, and then a murder happens in it, and nobody knows how it did, because the room was locked. And, yeah, that's what it is. And so our clues are, we have a candy wrapper, some handprints in a locker, a broken bottle, and a figure that was presumably within it. There's a bloodstain and a protein drink canister. Sakura, and we find out that Sakura set up a noon meeting with Byakuya, Toko, and Yasuhiro. And Byakuya didn't meet with her because he's a homophobe. And this doubly confirmed to be a locked room puzzle. Because we check and, you know, we are told, yes, this room is a locked room. Nothing happened. There are no secret exits. You know, nobody teleported in. You know,
no, there are no
and
no air
we have
vents.
A small we have a the, yeah there are no secret air vents. Nobody solid snaked their way in. And we chat with the number one smelly bench, Fukawa Toko, and she says, "Well, I didn't see her because I was too much of a coward to go. I'm not suspicious." And then Shaggy Scooby-Doo drops a candy wrapper when we go to talk with him, and he's like, "Well, that's not suspicious either."
totally fine.
And we examine the cabinets with the world's biggest dickhead. and we find out that, you know, vitamin supplements are in cabinet number A, regents are in cabinet number B, and super deadly poisons are in cabinet number C. What could possibly go wrong?
A lot, actually.
Oh my god. Why would you ever organize? This is a violation of this is an OSHA violation. Like, first you didn't have a bog witch, and now you're doing this?
Yeah, like,
come the fuck on, gang.
Holy shit.
But more importantly, a bottle fell, and there are footprints in the powder that came out. Kyokyo licks us and determines that that's the taste of a liar. And it turns out that there's a magazine in the rack that has Toko's name written in blood inside of it. And we weigh the glass on the ground, and we find out that we're actually missing two Monokuma bottles. Not sure we got the scale, but yeah. Sakura has powder on her shoe, which will come up later, that's important. And Ding Dong, bitches, it's time to decide which one of you sweet innocent babies goes straight to hell. It's a deadly dingus and a deadly spingus. It's a deadly class trial. Aoi once again fingers Byakuya Toko, our hero, as the killer. Hero tries to frame Toko. Oh man, we do three fucking bullet time battles, and we confront Hero, we confront fucking Aoi, and then we confront confront Aoi twice. I don't remember, I think it was
Hero. It was Hero. It was Kawa, and then it was
Aoi. Yeah, it was Hero, Toko, and then Aoi.
Yeah.
So we can fucking do three bullet time battles, and you know how much I hate these. I put in the notes that I crave the release of death, and I probably still do. But turns out he accepted a candy from Sakura before hearing her say, "I'm gonna end everything today." And that's a great fucking thing to say to somebody that you're not trying to murder. And he just misinterprets that naturally, and he knocks her out with a glass bottle and writes Toka's name in the magazine when he thinks he did a whoopsie-poopsie little murder by accident. Aoi once again tries to go, you know, that's what killed it. That's what killed her. Fuck you. Go die. But Sakura was struck twice, and we have the glass shards to prove it. So we get to do bullet time battle number two against Toko to get her to say words. And she says she was in the locker, and she revealed that she was in the locker. And it is her handprint in the locker. She, you know, turned into show at some point and smashed the other bottle over Sakura's head. But we can confirm that Sakura died from poisoning. And then, you know, in a twist of fates, Aoi claims to have done the deed and her story, but her story just doesn't add up. And it is revealed at that point, you know, by seeking out the contradictions, that Sakura had ended her own life. And we get to do our third fucking BLT battle. I was fucking screaming at this point. I hated it. But we kind of reached the conclusion that we kind of already know, that Sakura created the locked room. And it was kind of obvious that she was, you know, she killed herself. We do our closing argument, which, you know, we recap. Sakura asked Yasuhiro, Toko, and Byakuya to meet with her. Toko got there early, hid in the locker. Sakura entered the room, followed shortly after by Yasuhiro. Hiro misinterpreted Sakura's intent, attacked her in a kind of self-defense. He then hastily tried to cover up the murder by forging her writing Toko's name. Toko puts the magazine on the shelf to cover that up. Doesn't put it the right way up because she's a dumbass too. We got three idiots and about like one brain cell among them. They get custody and she gets custody on the weekends. She sees the blood, passes out, and wakes up his show. And then, you know, because she is a different person, they don't share the same memories, show whacks Sakura over the head with ball number two and begins disposing of evidence immediately, as, you know, trained killer would. Naturally, the ultimate martial artist has gone through worse, and thus was not slain so easily. But the poison is a different story. So, someone in the group knew what she had done and sought to falsify our verdict. They replaced the poison with the protein can to draw suspicion. And that person was Aoi Yasuhina. And there's a reference in the pose when she like reveals that it gets revealed, like, oh, you know, where it's like Makoto like,
oh, yeah,
upwards, and Sakura like kind of facing downwards crying, and I could swear it was a reference to a boxing game. It might also be a reference to Ashita no Joe. I saw somebody put
I wouldn't be shocked if it was another reference to Ashita no Joe, especially considering last time, you know.
Yeah, it has been a very, very long time since I've read Ashita. Yeah. I really only skimmed it. I wouldn't know. post-trial, we get Byakuya butt mad. Everybody, of course, votes, you know, Byakuya gets butt mad because he didn't figure it out first. And, yeah, that goes nowhere. Sakura, you know, of course, is voted president. And then Aoi drops this fucking bomb line. We all killed her. We all have to pay for our crimes. Which loses a little bit of weight because the note was faked by Monokuma and she was being manipulated from the start. And then we watch Alter Ego get fucking smashed into a ball bearing.
Yeah.
And that's the recap, ladies. Well, ladies.
Yeah. Well, that was, gosh, a lot happened in this chapter, but let's start at the top. Let's start at the immediate portion of the investigation. Aoi does, like, it's kind of interesting just sort of in retrospect that, like, just how weird Aoi is acting. Like, it's a great sequence. Like, I actually really love, like, right at the beginning when they have stumbled upon, Sakura's body and Chiwa Saito, you know, just turning in a killer performance. Aoi was incredible this chapter. I really, really loved what she did this chapter.
Yeah, Chiwa Saito fucking bashed it out of the park. Knowing that Aoi was being disingenuous, like, kind of takes away from the, like, emotional impact of part of the writing, which I thought initially on first purview was, like, fucking great, it really sold her being a traumatized teen really well, who just lost her best friend. Like, that shit rocked. I think it was diminished a little bit by having her be, like, the mastermind of this trial, like, of having her be, like, the boss of this level, so to speak.
I think it was, it's one of the weaknesses of how this game is set up, because it's like, oh, you need to, like, I've played through this, and it was like, I still don't, like, understand exactly what we were accusing Aoi of. Like, are we
falsifying evidence, mostly?
Yeah. Like,
the trial was just like, oh, you know, was less like finding the killer and finding whoever was trying to make it look like Sakura was killed. Which, right. I kind of like the twist on the general, like, you know, formula.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It seemed kind of, I don't want to say wasteful, but it seemed definitely like a, it seemed definitely not really fitting the format.
Yeah.
It hewed a little too close to convention to work out, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But for all its roughness, it was still a very good chapter.
Yeah. Jed, you have said that this is like one of your favorite chapters in this game. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I like the notion that, of course, since the first three were all situations of someone kills someone else and that someone is clearly hiding within us, that's the focus for, like, 75% of the chapter until Kyoko and Makoto keep reasoning out the locked room situation. It's like, no, it really is impossible for anyone other than Sakura to have killed herself. And it's this nice sort of revelation of, oh, this isn't going to have an easy, nice ending. It's going to be a situation where we find out that one of our friends essentially went to meet, asked people who were antagonistic towards her to meet her, and so that she could talk about them. And she was just attacked again and again, and after that, killed herself. And it's this nice sort of dark twist without feeling like darkness for the sake of darkness or unearned.
Yeah, it definitely feels like Sakura was definitely planning to, like, you know, drink the poison and kill herself. It was just sort of like,
yeah, there's precedent.
Yeah, she was just trying to, like, I think she was trying.
Like, this was foreshadowed from pretty early on. I would say from comparatively early on compared to the other murders, like, this is kind of like, you know, one of those things where she is very kind of almost like this lingers over her for a while. And you kind of get this feeling that, you know, it's going to happen at some point once she's outed as the agent of Monokuma.
Yeah, we didn't mention, by the way, we noted that, like, one of the pieces of evidence that is submitted is that forged suicide note. And I'm trying to remember exactly what the forged note said.
It was something I can't... you know what? I'm going to Google it real quick.
Yeah, it was like, I can't go on, or it's like... something like that.
Yeah, something like, all of my friends have betrayed me.
Yeah.
But there's also the thing where... when you find her body, it's posed like the character from Ashita no Joe, and that's them sort of subtly hinting that this was the outcome that maybe she didn't want to have above all else, but it was somewhat planned by her, and she's getting some sort of victory over Monokuma through doing it.
Yeah, that's the main thing, is like her circumvention of, like, she, like, it feels like in a way that her suicide is designed to, like, buy time or something like that, like, or some greater purpose, and you get that sense. But yeah. And as what did, what are your general thoughts so far?
I liked this case well enough, I guess. I think the investigation is probably one of the more interesting ones that have happened so far, even though there wasn't a whole lot of the investigation. Like, the investigation this one is relatively short, I think, compared to some of the earlier ones.
Yeah, for the most part, there's only really two rooms that are investigated in total. The one where the crime took place, and the room where all the medicine was kept.
Yeah, the rec room and the chem room. I have to say, I do think this is, like, my favorite investigation so far because of the variety of clues. Like, it was a little, like, I really like the chess piece clue in the glass bottle and how they, like, give you enough for you to make the connection without explicitly spelling out that, like, oh, there is a piece, like, there is something missing here, and you gotta figure out which, like, chess piece is missing. It's like, I actually really liked that.
I thought it was a little too blatant. Like, the conspicuous lack of the queen was, like, very immediately, like, oh, so there was another bottle here that somebody used that maybe... that I initially thought, like, oh, there was another bottle. When we first saw the shelf, I was like, oh, there was another bottle here that somebody used, but maybe it didn't break or whatever, and it's hidden in the room or something.
Right. What are you talking about? The queen is
But here. That might just be Kyoko. Me, because I was on the chess club in middle school, so I know my pieces.
Fair enough.
I was a fucking Melvin. Still am, will always be.
I know, right?
What is the chess move of smash bottle on somebody's head? Did they have a name for that?
That is an en passant.
Okay, great.
It's a French technique.
Bandon.
What you do is you pass your pawn past the other person's pawn, and then you smack them over the head with the bottle and say, fuck you, I win.
Other clues that I rather liked, I did like the, you know, whole thing about the, like, if nothing else, I appreciated that the, like, I felt like that the previous investigations, like, the answers are, like, all super straightforward. And there is some straightforwardness to the clues and stuff that in this particular case, but I felt like it was put together a little better than some of the previous stuff. I just enjoyed, like, the types of clues we had that really forced you to think about, like, the physicality of, like, the room that, like forcing you to think about the layout of the room and the layout of, like, items and how they are placed. It felt like some of my favorite, like, you know, puzzles in Ace Attorney, you know? Like, I felt like there were some decent, like, they were finally doing some, like, really interesting puzzle design. Also, at one point, Byakuya asked to see Makoto's feet, and that's a little weird, because that whole clue.
Byakuya is she just wants a sneakerino peekerino at them dank-ass gamer toesies.
It's like, Makoto, I see this footstep. I need you to remove your shoes, Makoto.
Makoto. We need to catch the murderer. And the only way we can is if you remove... This is the foot smell murderer. We only know that this the only thing we know about this murderer is that their feet smell a very specific way. One way that only I can detect. Makoto, remove your shoes immediately. Socks too, bitch boy. I need to smell.
Makoto, I saw My Hero Academia, Two Heroes, and I thought that's that part where things get real and everyone takes off their shoes was a good idea. So, like, come on, let's take your shoes off.
It was a good idea, but it didn't go far enough.
Come on, buddy, let's take our shoes off. Hey, buddy.
I've done it.
Our shoes off. Not in a weird way. As bros.
As buds.
Just two toe bros hanging 5 feet apart because we're not gay.
Oh, God.
But yeah, like, I actually really like how much you get to dunk on Byakuya this chapter. You really just kind of...
Makoto, could you just like wave to them over here? we have to maintain our distance, but could you just like wave to them? Just like kind of wave your hands a little bit.
Yeah, thanks. Just waft the stank. Makoto, have you showered recently? I hope not. Oh, jeez.
Anyway, you were saying dunking on Byakuya is a lot of fun in this chapter, and you get to do a lot of it.
Yeah, there's that bit near the end where he's like, how did you figure this out when I couldn't? And Kyoka's like, it's called emotions, try having them sometime.
I mean, she just straight up calls him a fucking creepy little sociopath, and I kind of get it. But at the same time, it felt like this dunk was very, like... Again, I feel like the text is very Byakuya can do no wrong, because, like, even at this point, he was being very specifically, like, it was very specifically a frame job on him. And it reframes, say, Aoi's insistence that he doesn't get to examine the body as less, this guy's a fucking, like, psychopath, and he's, like, viciously insulting my dead best friend. And so I don't, you know, if he comes within 10 feet of her, I'm going to kick his ass. It's less that, and it's like more, I have to eliminate Byakuya because he'll know what's going on. You know, like, it very much reframes a lot of that. Which dampens a lot of the dunks, because it makes Byakuya, because, like, you know, but also, like, the dunk was really milquetoast. Like, he gets called a sociopath, and he's like, immediately like gracefully bows out of the game, and I don't know, I still think at some point somebody should have busted his nose and he should have walked around the entire fucking chapter like looking like Nigel Farage after he got fucking creamed on his airplane,
just milkshake all over his suit.
No, you've never seen the picture of Nigel Farage after he crashed his airplane?
I can't say I have, but this is... That won't exactly play in an audio medium.
Yeah, let's move on.
I'm just saying, everybody should Google it. He looks like a fucking dumbass.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Genuinely saying.
Yeah, fuck Nigel Farage.
I did really like that twist after the trial, where they were like, Monica was like, well, I still need to find somebody to punish, and your initial assumption is, oh, is he just going to take Sakura's body and smash it with something or whatever? And then, no, suddenly, oh, it's alter ego getting destroyed by some construction equipment.
Yeah.
See, I initially thought he was going to kill Aoi.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I was thinking, like, I was 50-50. I'm like, wow, is he going to, like, try and kill Aoi and she's going to, like, escape? Or maybe he's going to, like, break Aoi's legs, because technically she didn't do murder, but, like, still, she still tried to make it happen, and, you know, somebody needs to be punished at the end of the trial, and she was the closest to guilty.
Monokuma report. It's like, you had the intent to murder, therefore you should be punished as murderer.
Or less, you had intent to murder and therefore should be punished, and more, you know, somebody needs to be guilty, so if you are close to the guilty party as determined by the judge, who is Monokuma, so he can make arbitrary decisions, you will be punished appropriately or some such.
Right. But yeah, we do see Alter Ego get turned into a lump, and you get, like, the... So at the end of every chapter, you get, like, a little, like, special present to denote that you have completed the chapter. You can't give this present to anybody. It's just a little token to show that you've completed it. I think in chapter 2, it was, like, Mondo's jacket. Chapter 3, it was,
Yeah, it always relates to whoever got executed.
Yeah. So in this particular case, it was the altar lump, which is the giant bowling ball-sized piece of plastic that is now has Monokuma's, like, signature on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, if nothing else, like, that execution worked.
I mean, you could throw it at somebody, I guess.
You could. Yeah, that...
I mean, I could throw it at Byakuya. That's a nice thing to give me. Hey, Byakuya, just stand still for a moment.
Stand right there, just real quick.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate this execution because it does, like, it is, like, designed to squelch some of the hope that, like, the kids have, like, built up because they think they're being really sneaky with Alter Ego and, you know, having Alter Ego hack into their networks and things like that. And just sort of, like, no, I knew about it the whole time.
Well, this was kind of broadcasted pretty heavily in advance, too, because, like, when you hook Monokuma up to the thing, it's, like, up to the network, you know. Either Kirigiri or, not, when Kirigiri or Alter Ego herself turns to you and is like, listen, this could have some consequence. Like, we could definitely get caught for this.
Right.
And you're like, well, I, you know, that's, and...
Well, they don't have much of a choice.
That's a risk that we're going to have to take.
Yeah, because they don't have much of a choice.
Yeah. It's like that one time in middle school where I typed net send all and then wrote something like, have a happy summer at the end of some middle school semester, and everyone immediately knew who did it because my trace was there.
Jennifer's hacking story in which she got in trouble at school.
Jen, why would you do that?
I was a kid. I thought I was like, oh, I read this on the internet. This will be fun. But now people accuse me of being a hacker because I made a pop-up appear on every single computer saying, have a happy summer. I'm Shihiro Fujisaki in real life.
Yes, she is. Jennifer, the ultimate programmer. Making pop-up messages happen.
I know how to type one thing in command prompt, and it will get me in trouble.
How much trouble did you get in? Did they just, like, I forget.
I got brought in front of the principal with the IT person yelling at me, and once I explained and was pretty upset that, no, I was just something, I'm a kid, I was just doing something fun, and then they were like, oh, okay, don't do it again.
That's great. Oh my god.
Anyway.
I'm trying to think what else. A couple of the other things that happened in this chapter. We figured out that you could just button mash through the bullet time battles, and that's a big relief.
That's true. Yeah, we could. Inez and I finally found an unfrustrating way to go. Well, still pretty tedious, but not like Hell World. And it's, you can just fucking mash buttons. As it turns out, this bullet time battle mode, extremely low effort, well not low effort, but like extremely,
just mash to win.
Phoned in design.
Yeah, like they, like I realized it too recently and I was like, oh, why am I trying to hit the beat? There's no punishment for like not hitting things on the beat, so... Yeah. Doesn't really matter.
The game doesn't come up with a pop-up and say your meat's small for it, so why bother?
Exactly. So there is one thing that I really liked about the just trial in general, and just this case in general, was how everyone was kind of, like, moving through the ringer and just sort of, like, trying to figure out, like, it... Like, everything was always operated under the assumption that somebody killed Sakura, right? So first we have to accuse Hiro, and then we have to accuse Toko, and then we accused Aoi, you know? And it was like, was trying to figure out, like, it was figuring out their stories and then finding the parts that didn't add up and moving on to the next suspect, which I found interesting. Like, I rather like that. And also the very quick admission from Hiro, who was like, yeah, like, he believed that he killed Sakura. Like, that was, like, that I feel is definitely a moment of, like, Hiro lost his cool. For sure. And it was, yeah, like, I really liked the learning about the interactions, like, between, like, Sakura and the others in her, like, last moments, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I also like how, I mean, when it's revealed that Toko also got a swing in, he immediately changes his story, and Toko's like, what, you just admitted that you did it, and then he's like, well, I'm always ready to admit when I'm wrong.
Yeah, he, that was a good scene. I feel like, I mean, again, Byakuya kind of got the runaround this chapter. It didn't really amount to much, but damn, did he get the fucking runaround.
I just sort of, like, appreciated the idea of, like, how this chapter is, like, kind of the puzzle design and, like, case design ethos is, like, very much designed to catch you off guard if you are going in thinking that somebody, like, I remember when I first played this case, like, suicide didn't exactly enter my mind as, like, a possibility. Like, the game kind of conditions you to think that, like,
it conditions you to expect murder.
Exactly. And it doesn't, like, I like that this break happens, like at this point in the game, which would be, you know, the third time, well, technically fourth time, like, I say, like, third time beyond, like, the tutorial, like, the first case is kind of a tutorial, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it hits you at the moment that you were least expecting it, in a way. Hey everybody, it's me, Kyrie. Thank you for listening to episode 8 of Ultimate Despair Reprise. Sorry for the lateness on this one, everyone. Technical difficulties and such kept me from releasing this on our usual date. But anyway, let's move on to the shoutouts. First off, thank you to Scanline Media for hosting this podcast. Make sure you go to scanlinemedia.com for all of our projects. Check out shows like The Johto Quorum, Bottle Crow Reborn, and Neutral Game. And for a mere $1 a month, you get access to exclusive Scanline shows like Oops All Anime. Recently, they recorded an episode on Grenadier and The Good, The Bad, The Ugly. So that is going to be hilarious. You should definitely check that out. And that's only $1 a month. $1 a month. And you get all our archives as well. Make sure you check that out. You can go to patreon.com/scanlinemedia for more details. Of course, thanks to Vetrom for providing the music, as always. Make sure you check them out on YouTube at youtube.com/VTMprojects. They do hot remixes from My Hero Academia, Pokemon, Trauma Center, all types of stuff. They also got original music as well. They have some great Hatsune Miku tunes called Poison and Not My Light. Those are hot fire. You should be checking those out. Give them a listen. Lastly, doing a little housekeeping here. Jennifer is going to go on a well-deserved vacation, so we're going to take a short break as well, only for about a week or so. We'll keep you posted. Make sure you're following us at DespairCast on Twitter. We'll let you know when the next episode goes up. But if you're behind on your homework or you just need a break, now is the time.
We'll talk to you soon, and we'll have a special study hall episode that goes up in the near future. Make sure you're following us on Twitter. Like I said, also, we are going to be approaching the end of the game sooner rather than later. So after we do the final chapter of Danganronpa 1, we're going to have a special debrief episode in which we just, you know, talk about our thoughts, talk about our feelings about the game as a whole. But that will also be the time in which we will read emails. So definitely shoot us an email at sparecast@gmail.com if you want to have your burning questions answered by us. Make sure you send those in soon. We are approaching the end game, and we're going to get real wet and wild with the end of this game. If you know what happens, it's a hoot. Anyway, that's all for now. Remember, your homework, if you want to stay ahead of the curve, is Chapter 5, Daily Life of Danganronpa 1, Trigger Happy Havoc, and I'll talk to you next time. Later!
Short chapter, wasn't it? Like,
it kind of was.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, this was, like, easily, I think, the quickest investigation and, like, thing. Like, we got to run around a lot because there was no active antagonist. Like, even Aoi's resistance was pretty token. Like, I feel like what was best exemplified in the text was, like, everybody seemed really, tired, so to speak. Like, all the characters seemed exhausted.
Yeah, like, I feel like...
In a pretty believable way, I kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like this particular chapter is a character examination, just, like, to see where all the characters are at. Like, putting aside, like, Byakuya's, like, inconsistent writing, which we have gone on about before, I really like the exploration of the characters we have here, because we show that, like... You know, for example, like, Hiro is more than willing to, like, attack somebody. Like, he was going to be the least likely person to, like, lift a finger against anybody else. You know what I mean? And it shows that, like, he really must have been at the, you know, end of his rope to see Sakura. Sakura hands him the piece of candy and then says something vaguely ominous. He still eats the candy, though, because...
Granted, the shit that he says is extremely fucking... The shit that Sakura says is extremely fucking ominous.
Yeah.
I'm gonna end it all today, oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sakura is...
But also, I feel like...
Player for the
dream. Yeah, I mean, or alternatively, you know. But regardless. I feel like a big thing that happened that I thought was, like, kind of interesting is that because you have a hard limit on two people you can kill, you can't kill three, Sakura would not be able to end it today in the way that Hiro interprets it. And I think that's kind of... I think that's rather interesting writing. Maybe not ideal, but still a pretty cool... pretty cool way to go about it.
Yeah, if nothing else, it shows, like, you know, if Yasuhiro had, like, thought about that statement for longer than 2 seconds, he, of course, would never have arrived at the conclusion that, like, oh, Sakura is about to attack me or something like that. But everybody is stressed out. Aoi is stressed out. Yasuhiro is stressed out. Like, everybody is, like, at their limit. And now, like, my thinking is, like, Sakura must have known that everybody was at their limit and fully expected, like, this kind of shit to go down. Like, that's why she invited, like, the three people had the most beef with her to, like, you know, do something, but, like, she probably knew that, like, one of them was gonna attack her or something like that. But even in the end, like, you have that great moment where we find out that Sakura, like, you know, tries to help out Toko, right? Who faints from all the blood and all that, and then becomes Sho and attacks her again. But, like, even then, Sakura still has compassion for even those people. Like, you kind of get that when we learn more about the full extent of Sakura's suicide note. So, it's a long scene, but, like...
Yeah, there is some clever, you know, there's a bit of clever, there's some clever-ass writing, little clever-ass character writing going on.
Yeah, like, I loved that, like, even if, like, she basically says in her suicide note, the real one, of course, that, like, I get it, I understand why, you know, you might hate me, but I don't hate you. Like, I'm doing this out of, like... Monokuma told me that I need to murder someone. He never specified who. And she commits, like, suicide as, like, the fulfillment of, like, the contract that she had.
Yeah, of the contract.
Yeah.
Of the, you know, you have to kill, yeah, of the, you know, somebody has to die contract.
Exactly. I love that.
And I think, I do think that, like, the fact that Monokuma kind of just takes the... replaces it with another letter. I don't know if I like that or not.
Yeah, I would have preferred if it was like there was no note at all and it was just like, because narratively...
Or maybe he just destroys the note or something. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's a little like... I feel like first and foremost, like, it's a little... it sets a kind of a strange... well, I don't want to say it sets a precedent. I don't love the idea of, like, oh, Monokuma fakes a note. Like, I get that he can do the whole disinformation thing, but it feels like...
this is just straight up.
Feels like kind of a cop-out to find out, like, oh, haha, I was manipulating Abby the entire time.
Yeah. And especially,
it seems a little... Yeah, it didn't rub me the right way.
Yeah.
For me, it gets into something that we'll be finding out... Well, it's something that'll become more apparent as it goes on, but as much as Monokuma has positioned himself to be a neutral arbiter of whatever happens within Hope's Peak, he definitely is first and foremost making things exciting for himself. And sometimes that means going in and making things incredible. Well,
yeah, he goes in and creates conflict. I don't know if I like the whole deal where, I mean, I don't like the precedent it sets, like, oh, he fakes the evidence, and Aoi just believes it, I guess?
That's why I'm thinking that narratively it would have been better that, like, he just removed the note from the scene, and then... Aoi and everyone else has to, like, make assumptions about what Sakura is feeling.
Or maybe, like, it kind of like how it was done in, with the Celestia case, where there's, like, a scrap of paper, and we don't know what the scrap of paper is to, but maybe, like, midway through the trial, we get some, or, like, towards the end of the trial, it's like, oh, you know, there's one thing that's unaccounted for, and it's this scrap of paper. And it's like, oh yeah, you know, as it turns out, this was Sakura's, like, will. You know, right. this was actually from her original will that is absent now. And I feel like that would make more sense, like, if Aoi just kind of came to, oh, you know, Sakura killed herself because she couldn't take being hated by all of you. If she just came to that conclusion without meddling,
right?
I guess.
Yeah, there's also the way that Sakura had told her beforehand that she was going to meet with those three, so they could have naturally led into, oh, well, I'm going to suspect all three of you because I knew that this meeting was taking place and exactly who would be there.
Yeah, it definitely did feel like a bit of an unnecessary thing. That being said, like Jen, you said, it does set up a few things about Monokuma's character. Not great. It's not perfect, obviously. But we are starting to see the facade slip. We even kind of see it in this chapter a little bit, because this is jumping, well, I mean, we're jumping all around, but like after the trial, Kirigiri brings Makoto up to the data center and basically tells Makoto, hey, Makoto, you should try busting down this door. And Makoto's like, well, okay.
Yeah. Hey, just bust down the door.
Why not? It's like, hey, Makoto, use that big dumb shoulder of yours, bust down the door. It's not a problem.
Hey, Makoto, you dumb dickhead.
Come on, Makoto, you're a boy, right?
Hey, Makoto, ultimate super high school level battering ram. Let's go.
Right.
Come on, you shit child.
But then we find...
You ready to slam this door to fucking infinity? Let's go.
Punch it, become One Punch Man, and punch it in one. And... Exactly.
Punch this door so hard it becomes one.
Yeah. But then we find out, like, Monokuma is pissed because it's like, oh, Monokuma was sleeping. Or clearly had their rest disturbed. Right? And... We're starting to, like, learn a little bit more about who Monokuma is. That being said, right at the end of the chapter, we are dropped a name. Do you remember what the name is?
Mukuro Ikusaba.
Mukuro Ikusaba, the 16th murder student that we alluded to not worry about. And, hey, totally don't worry about Mukuro Ikusaba.
So... Yeah, that's a big wowie zowie. What that there was this fucking person who just I guess that kind of called it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This character's name is Corpse Warblade.
Oh right. This is good
because Mukuro means corpse. And the kanji for Ikusaba is Warblade. The 16th student, Corpse Warblade.
Maybe we shouldn't have let her name herself.
So, hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Fuck Killmeyer, and I'm here to party.
It's like Bakugo naming himself in My Hero Academia. So,
no, I mean, Bakugo does... Bakugo... Okay, but, like, here's the thing. Bakugo naming himself... I don't think... his name is Bakugo from Bakuhatsu, which means explosion. And that's, like, a pun name written by the author. But, like, this character's name is literally Corpse Warblade. This is a fucking 40... This character walked out of Warhammer 40K and was just totally okay with it. Like,
I sold a Corpse Warblade at my store last week.
So, before we go any further, just want to say... Do not look anything up about... Don't look that name up or anything like that, because it'll basically... It gets into some territory...
It'll spoil the whole game.
Yeah.
It'll spoil the
ultimate spoiler.
Do not Google Corpse Warblade, or she will find you.
She will find you, yeah. And she will turn you to a corpse with her Warblade.
But yeah, we're reaching the point where the rails are coming off, and... We're going into... Things are going to get really weird and strange and hectic.
We're going to get really wet and wild with it?
Yeah, we're going to get really wet and wild with it. We're starting to enter the end game because we're like, after this chapter, there's only two left. Because, like, I don't know if we've established this before, but I think every Danganronpa game is a prologue, six chapters, and an epilogue. And... It was very funny, like, during the bullet time battle, like, tutorial or something like that, it says, hey, you're over halfway through the game, good job. And it's like, oh, I think we're a little over halfway through. But yeah, things are going to get wet and wild with Corpse Warblade.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning that if not this one, then the last one is incredibly meaty in terms of what gets discussed.
Oh man, that sounds... Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I'm very excited. I'm very excited to have What if we meet Corpse Warblade and they're just a fucking, like, Melvin? Like, that's the thing I'm most afraid of. Like, we meet Corpse Warblade and it's just fucking Urkel from Family Matters.
I'm Corpse Warblade.
Is Urkel from Family Matters? I actually never watched any sitcoms as a kid. I never watched any Nick at Night, so I don't know anybody from anywhere, but I do know Urkel. And I'm very afraid that we're going to meet Corpse, this person whose name is fucking Corpse Warblade. And they're going to be fucking Hifumi 2.0. Like, just a total fucking Melvin. So it's an absolute fucking geed. Just the worst. Nerdiest little shit. They're like 2 feet tall and wear big Coke bottle glasses. And they're like, excuse me.
I'm Corpse Warblade. I'm here to kill you. I'm the ultimate
I'm
despair.
Corpse Warblade. Do you play Magic the Gathering?
I'm Corpse Warblade and I use 2 katanas.
I'm Corpse Warblade. You want to play got some kill coat. Team?
Excuse me. Is this where the D&D meetup is?
I don't want to play Adventurers League. Adventurers League is for nerds, so I want to use my own
Adventurers
system.
Adventurers League won't let me play my cat girl.
I'm actually going to tell you right now, Corpse Warblade is going to be your favorite character, Jackie.
Okay, yeah, I am already excited. You know what? I am 100% sure Corpse Warblade is going to be my favorite fucking character. How can they not be? I'm a stupid fucking edgelord, and this character's name is Corpse Warblade.
Yeah, but
like, even if they do turn out to be a total fucking geek, like, that's the thing, like, that fucking has immediately sold me on them.
Corpse Warblade respect.
Like, my favorite Love Live character is the one that pretends to be a fucking, like, is the one that's a stupid toony dipshit, so, like, that's the entire, that is my aesthetic, is, like, either people can actually, walk the walk, or, like, total stupid toony dipshits.
Yeah.
So, I'm entirely down to meet Corpse Warblade.
So yeah, like, again, the revelation isn't necessarily anything new, because, like, at the very beginning of the game, they say, hey, Monokuma, why are there 16 chairs? And again, we're told not to worry about it. But now
don't worry about it.
Now we are definitely worrying about Corpse Warblade.
I think we've always been worrying about the extra special student. The ultimate truant.
The ultimate 16th murder student. We were talking about.
Since you didn't follow along with the ultimate truant goof, I'm a little worried about that.
I'm tired. I just... Listen,
I'm also tired, I've been barely speaking.
We're gonna...
I was just hoping no one would notice.
Well, now the whole...
Well, welcome back to the Jackie Show featuring Jackie. On this episode, Corpse Warblade.
So, anyway, what are some final thoughts about this chapter?
Why was there a fucking corpse in a luchador mask at the very end of it?
Well,
there were like 3 days for the worst thing before the worst thing so
before
far.
Before 9/11 too.
And it's a fucking... before 9/11 the squeakle.
Well, for one thing...
9/11 the squeakle.
Before Trip
Hold on. Fucking...
Genuous.
Before that, and it's fucking a luchador in a painter's smock. Stabbed with the switchblade.
Well, for one thing, since I just recently finished chapter 4, I know that wasn't actually in chapter 4. Y'all were reading the beginning of chapter 5.
Since I recently
the title card had not
four,
appeared at that point.
Was in chapter 4. The title card for chapter 5 had not appeared at that point. It is entirely fair game to discuss, Jen. You are a fool.
If you play it on the PlayStation Vita, that's where they give you a trophy right before that and ask you to save. That's the ending of chapter 4.
The title card does not show up. It asks you to save every time. I thought we agreed. We're title card to title card.
I think I realized I had never clarified that we were going to, like, when the game prompts you to save, but hey, that's me.
Regardless. Like, I think when a work clearly delineates itself into chapters, you're supposed to read until the chapter officially ends.
That's fair.
And the next one, and, like, stop when the next one begins, if you're doing a chapter-by-chapter podcast like we are.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to look at it.
My meat is gigantic.
So, but yeah, we do get this image of this. It's a, like, I was about to say it's a haunting image. It's a little silly, but, like, that image will...
No, this is extremely not haunting. This is the funniest fucking thing I've seen in my entire life. Why is this person wearing a luchador mask? Who fucking knows? Why are they wearing, like, it looks like...
Why have they been stabbed in the chest? Lab coat?
Is this a lab coat backwards? Or is this, like, a smock? Or is this, like...
My favorite thing about...
Some fucking new onesie?
My favorite thing about the...
Are they in a cult... Are they in a cult robe? Who knows?
My favorite thing about the luchador mask is that the eyes are designed to look like the, like, flurled out, like, red eye of Monokuma, but on both sides. So they can't even stick to, like, the red-white theme. It's just sort of, like, Monokuma...
No, but that's... Fucking... I don't think they are. I think... Because they have, like, very specifically the Monokuma eye on their forehead.
Yeah.
Which, like, makes sense. But, like, I don't think the other eyes are that close in design to it. I think they're just supposed to be generic luchador masks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
that,
like,
said,
like, fucking Monokuma fed, like, just a random luchador mask. It's like, well, I'm gonna put this stamp on it. It's gonna be mine now.
Yep. It's extremely low budget. This is the low budget. Wait, hold on. Mm-hmm. Is this...
Is what?
So you know how the 16th student has been missing this entire time?
Yes.
Is that them?
You're gonna have to find out next chapter. Everybody's, like, gonna have to find out next chapter.
We don't see the face. And, like... Fuck, I don't know.
But yeah.
Where'd the knife come from? Does Monokuma just keep knives around?
Who, you don't?
It's not a kitchen knife. I mean, I have a bunch of knives, but, like, real talk.
Yeah.
Monokuma, what have you done?
Jennifer, what did you think about this chapter?
This chapter is definitely... It's easily my favorite from Danganronpa 1. Like, I was all the way with Aoi as she chewed out the others for being so quick to attack Sakura. I enjoyed how... It was a case with an unusual end, and I don't know, I just really enjoy hearing about Sakura and watching Aoi get serious and emotional. That's fun.
Yeah. I have to say, I really loved that when we got to the part of the true suicide note, I am blanking on the name, unfortunately, but the Japanese voice actress for Sakura, who voices Otose in Gintama, she does so well. Like, she does such, like...
Oh, yeah, she kills
her. I love her Sakura voice so much. Like, there is something to that very, like... There is, like, this... There's determination in every line. There is, like, weight and power behind everything that she says. And it was a really great way to send off the character, I think. And it's, like... Sakura is probably one of the best characters in this game, easily. And, sorry, I hiccuped. And this case, is all about her, and about how she's related to other people, and it's just very good. And I think, I love exploring Sakura's character and her relations to everybody else, and in spite of how short this chapter is, I think we get a lot of, like, really great character work and really some of the best writing that this game has had so far. But yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I have been Kyrie.
And I've been Jennifer.
And I've been Skrunks Madunky, the 18th student.
Wait, where's the 17th student?
Well, that was Piss Kink Magellan.
Oh.
We kind of skipped over there, Goof. But trust me, it was hilarious.
I'm the even more easily forgotten 18th student.
Wait, I'm the 18th student.
No, you're not.
Class I'm the 18th student.
Find out who the real 18th student is on the next episode.
Next episode of Ultimate Spare Repair. Class dismissed.
Who is this?
Old 97 went in the wrong hole. Now my number 60 is one of the hole.
Let's get the fuck out of here, please.
So any other thoughts before we head to the close? Anybody?
I'm really looking forward to seeing how y'all react to the next case.
Oh god, the next case is fucking wild.
Yeah, it goes hard.
I hope you're ready for sprinklers.
I don't know what you mean by that, but alright.
Sprinklers, corpse warblade, luchador masks.
Okay, are you telling me that there's gonna be piss in the next chapter? Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, hell yeah.
God damn it.
Alright.
Like, am I supposed to glean from sprinklers?
Let's get fucking crazy.
You know, the thing that waters lawns.
Is there gonna be a fire, or is there gonna be...
Is that a euphemism?
Something, a little nastier.
No, we're gonna find out about...
Here, your piss kink is showing.
How much of this awful digression are you gonna cut out, I wonder? That's the real question I'm wondering.
Oh, we're gonna have
hey,
to
audience, what
I
do
am,
you think?
I am anti-Kiri revisionist.
Press 1 if you think she's gonna leave it all in. Press 2
here's the thing.
If you think
if
she's gonna cut out about
half
of it.
About- If we make a lot
class dismissed.
We haven't even
press 3 if you think that it's not going to appear at all. She's just gonna wipe
well,
it under the rug.
What?
Hi, my name's Piss Kink Magician. My name is Pink Magellan. I am the 17th.
Okay, well, class.
I'm a 17th student.
Well, class.
Hey, have you ever heard
been...
that song about the train crash and the coal mine?
No, and I'd rather not. All right, let's move on to the ending. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for episode. Is it 8? 7? Oh, God.
It's
what?
8.
It's 8.
Listen,
it's...
I can't read.
We'll just say it. It's 8. Even if it's not 8, it's 8.
It's 8. Check. Well,
it's 8.
It's 8.